So the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak says that you have to do bedika, right? Pesach is coming on the 15th, and there's an isser of what? An isser of bayira vayimatzei. You can't own chametz. You can't have chametz in your possession on Pesach. So in order to avoid that, what do? The Mishnah says you have to do bedika. You have to look through your home, through your any place that you might have put chametz over the year. You have to check it out and remove it and destroy it. So that's the bodek, right? That's bedika. So the question is: so Rav Yehuda is saying in the name of Rav, an extra thing. Even though everybody does bedika, you went through your property and you found your chametz and you destroyed it, you still need to do bittul. So what is bittul? What is bittul? Bittul is when your person says, Rashi says, belibo, right? So you vatal belibo. What does that mean? It means you say about your chametz, it's ka'afra da'ara. It's what we all read after the bediga, right? You say, you look through, you find everything you can find, and after you do that, you still do a bittul. You say, any chametz is in my possession is like afra da'ara, it's like dust. It's like something that I don't care about. Okay? And that's another way. That's another way of getting rid of the chametz. How is it getting rid of the chametz? Not physically, but it's nullifying it. It's making it like hefker. Okay, so it's not yours anymore. There's no isser to have somebody else's chametz in your house, right? So Rav is saying that even though you go through your property and you remove the chametz, you still should do bittul afterwards. So it seems redundant. It seems redundant. We have to do bedika. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't mention bittul really. We have to do bedika. So the question is, once we're doing bedika and getting rid of all the chametz, physically, what's the point, what's the purpose of doing bittul? Okay? So that's what the Gemara says. My taima. Why? Rashi says, Arei mevor kol hanimtzer. He already destroyed everything he can find. So why does he have to go ahead and do bittul for? Okay, so let's just go through the facts, and then we'll come and we'll try to analyze analyze a little more deeply. So the Gemara says like this: E neima mishum pirurin. So what does that mean? Maybe you'll say it's because of the pirurin. What are pirurin?
Crumbs.
So why would it be because of the crumbs? Why is that a good answer? Yes.
Because you would think, because if you have crumbs, like you're like, oh, maybe I didn't nullify everything, and if you have crumbs left over, it's still considered crumbs.
Okay, but why? But so the Rush explains. The Rush says because there's sort of like an assumption. You did the bedika, right? You did the bedika, but there's an assumption that you're going to miss crumbs, right? Now it's an assumption. Okay, you went through the house, you found the, you went through the cabinets, you found the challah and the Cheerios and all the food. You picked up the big pieces off the floor. But, I mean, how clean could you get the place? Especially those days, they had dirt floors. So you'll miss crumbs. There's a certain assumption. The point is like this. It's not redundant because the bedika got rid of the big stuff, but maybe the bedika failed. The Gemara is saying, why would you do bedika? Why would you do bittul if you did bedika? It must be that there's something that's failing in the bedika, right? So the first assumption is, I'll tell you what failed. The bedika got rid of the big stuff, but the crumbs are still there. So maybe you'll do the bedika and the bedika for what you can find, the major pieces, and then, like the Rush says, he says it's like an umdana. It's an assumption that you're going to leave behind crumbs. So you'll do the bittul on the crumbs, right? Okay. So what are you all thinking? These things, okay, so why don't you just do bittul? Just forget about the bedika, right? If you have to do the bittul anyway, why don't you just forget about the bedika? Correct? So why do you think you do bedika? If the Gemara is insisting you do bittul after the bedika, so okay, so just do the bittul, forget about the bedika. So why would you have to do bedika?
Some things can't be mevatel.
That's a good question. Can you be mevatel anything? Can you be mevatel anything?
Something can make anything happen, no?
So that happens to be an answer, yeah? Yeah?
There's no real mitzvah
on the bittul? Right. It's belave, Rashi says. So that's one answer that's given. That really, in theory, you could. In theory, you could. But maybe a person's not going to be full, wholehearted in his bittul. Because if he has something very expensive, something very tasty, he'll keep it in his cabinet and he'll give a bittul. You know what I mean? Wink, wink, nod, nod. Sure, I don't care about all that good stuff. And then after Pesach, whoa, I have all this stuff here. Wonderful. Whoever knew? So that's it's open to a little bit of gaming, the little trickery, right? So that's why we insist on the bedika. You don't want to rely on the bittul. Because maybe it's not going to be a full-hearted bittul. And also, yeah? Doesn't say selling chametz in the Gemara. That's why some people are not happy with selling the chametz. I mean, it's a good point. It's a very good point. That's why they insist, the Rabbanim do it, insist it's a fully... Let me put it this way. It's not a problem if you really did the bittul. If you really could do the bittul, it would work. The question is, maybe you're not really going to do a bittul. Maybe you're going to not... Yes. But so too with the selling. If you fully sold it, 100% mechira gemura, it would definitely...
You wouldn't have to do...
That's right, it's not yours. Right. But the problem is, are they really selling it? That's the only question. Is it really a true sale or is it a sham? That the guy knows he's buying a whole warehouse for a dollar, whatever it is. So you have to do the Kenyan right. But the point is, we don't want to rely on the bittul for two reasons. One is the bedika, the bittul. We don't want to rely on the bittul because you might not do it with a full heart. And the other thing is, like Tosla says, if you leave it in your cabinet, you might accidentally come to eat it, right? Because chametz is a different kind of an isser. Chametz is an isser that's mutter all year long. So normally, if you have, let's say, chazer, right, ham in your refrigerator, so we're not worried you're going to accidentally eat it, because we're so conditioned not to eat pig, it's something that you just have a reaction against it. But there's no ingrained reaction not to eat bread. On the contrary, bread is a part of our life every day. So it's just 1 week we have to not eat bread. So we're worried you're going to forget. So get rid of it. Don't rely on the bittul, because... Bittul is something that's open to a little bit of trickery, to not really doing it properly. And two, if you have real chametz in your house, you might forget, right? So it's for the bad guy and for the good guy that we want to get rid of that we don't want to rely on the bittul. Okay? So we have to do the bedika. But the question is, once we're doing the bedika, so why also do the bittul? Okay? So the Gemara's first possibility is, okay, you do the bedika on the things that you can find, but then there's going to be crumbs. Nobody cleans the house that well. Especially if you go up to the dorm lady, you'll see. It's definitely true. So the question is, so the Gemara says, that can't be the reason. Got to have a couple of them. That can't be the reason, the Gemara says. Why? Halo chashivi. The crumbs are not important. Nobody cares about the crumbs. So basically, they're buckled by themselves. If you have to do a maisa, you have to do an act of bittul, you have to, in your heart, say something that's worthwhile, I have to reduce its status to being not worthy. I have to be mavatal. To be mavatal something means to take something that's chashuv, and in your mind you nullify it. But the crumbs are not chashuv to begin with. So they don't need bittul. Yeah?
Well, what do you mean that the crumbs aren't chashuv? They're not, they don't have value, or they don't have
the size? They don't have value. They're considered like hefker by themselves. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, so what's the Havamina? Yeah?
What if you see the crumbs? Aren't you not allowed to see the chametz?
No, but it's considered like it's bottle. It's considered like it's...
What's that?
Yeah, because it's not yours. Once it's bottle, it's not yours. You're allowed to have a geis chametz in your house. Put a mechitza up, whatever it is. But there's no isser on having it in the presence of the house, yeah.
I asked them why it's better for shishi than for crumbs. It's such a small crumb is worth it is insignificant.
That's in terms of eating it. That's in terms of eating it. So what's the chumrah? That's a chumrah midrabanan that we don't have bittul on because of the stringency of the isser and other reasons. But midrabanan we don't allow bittul b'shishim by chametz. But that's in terms of eating it. It doesn't mean you could eat the crumbs. But you wouldn't be over by your Rabbi Yamatze because it's not considered like it's not yours. Okay? So the question is why? So what's the Havamina? Why did the Gemara bring up Pirurin if it's just something that's not Kashrut? Okay. So you could say maybe they were just working it out. But the Gemara does give an interesting Havamina. The Gemara says, maybe you'll say that since they are locked up in your house, they're considered Kashrut. Okay? In other words, it's true they're small pieces of crumbs, but I'm protecting them, so to speak. I lock up my house at night. I don't let people come in. So, in a certain way, I'm protecting them. Maybe the protection that I'm affording them makes them chashuv. They're in my property, and I'm not letting anyone in my property. So it's considered like a shmirah on the crumbs. That makes them. Maybe that itself gives them a certain status of being not batal because I'm actually guarding them. So the Gemara brings a riot that that's not true. Because there's another case. If you're a person who grows grapes, for instance, the Gemara says, and there are these small figs that aren't really valuable. So even though every night you guard your vineyard, if somebody would come in and take a fig, it would be hefker. So the fact that you're guarding one thing doesn't make the other thing chashuv. So what kind of havmin is that? What's the havmin maskan on that? That what? The Gemara thought, maybe the Gemara thought that that since I am locking down my house and I'm protecting it, so everything inside the house is considered protected. So therefore, it's not bottled by itself. The Gemara says, no. Kamashmala, no. Even though you're protecting one thing, that doesn't do anything for the other. So what does that mean? What was the question? Yeah.
You said just the din of the makom. It doesn't differentiate between something that's if the makom is one that's protected, then it doesn't differentiate whether you care about it or you don't care about it. So therefore, even if you don't care about it, so since it's in a protected makom, so then it would be considered by itself kosher.
Because you're protecting the makom. You're protecting the area. So maybe you'll say, I'm protecting the house, and these are in the house, so therefore I'm protecting them. Yeah, you see the case? The case is like this. The Gemara says, V'chi tema. You see the Gemara? Let's continue the Gemara. V'chi tema keva de mintar lehu agav beise choshivi. Right? It sounds like what he's saying. That what? That they're protected through his house. How are they protected through his house? Rashi says, Im shamamono hu mishamron. He guards the crumbs with all of his other possessions. Kishu noel beso l'shomro. When a person locks his house, right, he's protecting his TV and his svarim and right, svarim first and then all his other stuff. Right? And then the crumbs, everything, it's a trickle down. You're protecting everything all the way down to the crumbs. So maybe you'll say, since he protects everything when he locks his door, Nimtza Mishamer Kol Masha Besocho. That's what the Rashi says. It turns out, what's he doing? He's doing a shmira, he's guarding everything in his house. Hilkach Chashivi. That's why they consider Chashiv. Vishimor lav adaita di dehu mi machshivle. Yeah. So that's the Gemara. So Rashi's now coming back at the end. No. It says Vishimor de lav adaita di dehu mi machshivle. What does that mean? That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara's answer back. Yeah. That it's a shmira without das. Is there such a thing as a shmira without das? So in other words, like this, the Gemara is saying, let's say I have a case like this. There's a case in Shabbos, for instance. Let's say a deer runs into your house, right? An animal runs into your house. And what do you want to do? You want to lock your door because you want to protect your house, right? So what's that called on Shabbos? It's a psik resha, right? You'll say, well, mamela, it happens when you lock the door, you're also trapping the tzvi, right? So on Shabbos, we say, yeah, it's a psik resha, you can't do something like that. Right, it's not really your intention. It's not what you want to do, but it happens. So that could be a problem of a psik resha, right? In other words, something is happening with the act that you're doing. You're really just protecting your house, but with it comes the trapping of the tzvi. So in a similar sense, maybe you'll say, okay, look, I'm protecting all of my stuff, and with it, what happens? The crumbs have become protected. Yeah, so we say, no, it's different. Why is it different? And we don't say that over here by the chametz. Why? Because by the chametz, it's not a fact of whether it's locked up or not. By Shabbos, there's a certain surah to malacha, right? If the deer is trapped, it can't escape, that's a certain form of a maisa of malacha. So inadvertently, you did the maisa of malacha. Okay? Over here, there's no Indian of malacha, it's a question of a certain attitude that you have towards the chametz. In other words, what is chashivas? When I say something is chashiv or not chashiv, what does it really boil down to? It really boils down to the way I consider something, right? Even the word chashuv comes from the idea of thinking, right? Something that you think about. Chashuv means it's like a machshava, something that is thought of, right? So it's intrinsically, the idea of chashivas has to do with the way you relate to something. So I could say, when I lock something up, what does that show? That shows I care about it, right? When I lock the door on my possessions, that demonstrates that I care about it. But it's not the physical act of the locking, right? It really is that it demonstrates a relationship. It really is not, so you have to differentiate sometimes between a physical act, right? The physical act of locking the door, what does it apply to? It applies to everything in the house indiscriminately. Right? You can't say when I lock the door, I'm locking the door on this and this, but not that. No, mamela, physically speaking, I lock the door on everything. But what am I involved in? What am I involved in doing? What's the person involved in? He's involved in protecting certain things. And he's only involved in protecting the things that he cares about. Right? It's true, it happens to be physically. Everything is behind the door, but not everything is involved in my shmira. You understand? I'm not guarding everything. I'm not guarding the dust on the floor. Happens to be it's locked up with my valuables, but it's not included in my act of shmira. And where does the chashivas come from? Not from the physical locking, but from the activity of shmira. So therefore we can say if the chametz are crumbs and things that the person doesn't care about, it's not included in his activity of shmira. Might be included in the action of the lock, but it's not included in the activity of shmira. So therefore they're not going to be chashiv. Just because you lock them up with something else does not make them chashiv. So pirurim was a good guess because it is something that you would miss during the bedikah. But it's not, it doesn't count because it doesn't need bittul. It's just bittul by itself. Okay? So we have to continue the search. Here's where things get a little strange. So now the Gemara says like this. Omar Rava, we're skipping the Braisa, because we basically got the main point of the Braisa. Omar Rava, Gzei Roshema Yimotze Glusko Yofeh V'daite Iluya. Gemara says, okay, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's maybe when you were doing the bedikah, you did a much worse job than we thought. Not only did you miss the pirurin, but you missed the croissant. You missed the nice, really good donut. A tempting morsel, okay? And what happens? Yeah, and then what happens? So now you're going to find it, and what happens? What does it mean, v'daite iluya? That's the key question. What does it mean, v'daite iluya? So if you look at Tosos, he gives the answer you'd expect. He says, v'lo bottle. Now, the Gemara was talking about pirurin first. It says, pirurin are not to worry about because they're bottle. But a good gluska, a good cake, a good piece of pastry is not bottle, right? So now it comes out you missed something and it wasn't bottle. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi says a very strange thing. Rashi says, Daito ole, So he says, Chashuva hi be'enav. It's a compound statement here. It's something that's valuable to you, right? V'chos oleho l'sorfa. And you're gonna what? You're gonna hesitate. You're gonna be a little hesitant to burn it. Okay. Umashe afilu rego echad. And you're gonna delay 1 second. You're gonna turn to it and say, okay, you go right ahead. But there'll be a delay. There'll be a slight delay where you pause in your mind. You're hesitant. Afilu rega echad, even 1 moment. Okay. V'nimtza over aleha b'bal yiroh b'bal yimotze. And in that moment, when you hesitate for 1 second, you're going to be over. Okay? And that's why you had to do bittul. But if you did bittul already, Rashi says, then you wouldn't have been over. Because the Torah just says, tashbisu, and bittul is a form of tashbisu. So the question is like this. The question is, Rashi is an amazing Rashi. It's an amazing Rashi, because what is the implication from the Rashi? So, what's the implication from the Rashi? Yeah, I did Bedika, I missed an entire cake, and it's Pesach, and now I find it. As long as I burn it immediately without any hesitation, according to Rashi, I wouldn't be over by Yiro, by Yimotzei, Lemafreya, and nothing. How is that? I mean, the bedika, what we said, bedika is to do what? Bedika is to remove the chametz from your rishus. You never did bittul. Bedika is to remove the chametz from your rishus. So having chametz in your rishus is the isser. So you blew it, you missed it, you failed. And you failed on something that's not bottle me'elav. But Rashi still says, even though you missed it, if you're on it immediately and you destroy it, you'll be fine. The only reason you have to do bittul is because we're worried that what? That when you find it, in the back of your mind, you're going to hesitate for a second. And that slight hesitation will cause you to be over by your Rabbi Yamati. But how is that? I mean, you should be over immediately. You should be over just from the fact, l'mafreya, we should say, well, you did a bad job. And one more question. And then the Gemara says, so when you find it, do bittul. So the Gemara says you might find it too late. Can't do bittul once you have to start. So once the issue starts. So Tosis asks a powerful question on Rashi. He says, if Rashi's whole thing is that we're worried the guy is going to hesitate and he's not going to want to do bittul, so what's the Gemara's question, do bittul? I mean, the whole problem is he doesn't want to do bittul. The whole problem is he's hesitant. So if that was the problem, according to Rashi, the whole problem was his hesitation, and that hesitation is going to cause the issue. So what's the suggestion to do bittul? So he'll hesitate for that too? Yeah, Gil? Tashbisu is the pasuk that you have to be tashbisu sorim b'teichem. You have to destroy it. But we'll get to that in a minute. That's the source. Yeah. So what do you guys say? I know you didn't have any time to prepare this at all, and we're going through a lot of stuff in a short time. But yeah.
You have to say BK is not necessarily directly nullifying, or it's like just the process, like the sinner of the seer sort of thing. It's not the way that you mivata, but it shows that you're mivata.
Right. So the problem is like this. If it shows that you're mevatel, it's a good suggestion. It's like it shows that you're mevatel. But then it is a bittul. So then why would you need to do the bittul too? Right? Now, as if the bedika is like a bittul, so then mamele you did a bittul. And then why, then how would it be any better than bittul? And also, I mean, another question we have to raise just quickly is, what if you did bittul and you find a sluski yafa? I mean, you still are a little dreaming about it. So why doesn't that create an issue? But you hear what I'm saying? But I think you're on the right track. I mean, you sense the right. You're sensing something that's important. That it is a process. Yeah.
Are you saying that there's two types of bittul? Like it could be a bittul, like if Dika does a bittul in terms of the makom, it shows that like any place that you normally would expect to find comments, so you don't have.
Right.
So you don't have comments there. There's another type of bittul, which is in the chafta itself. So by the crumbs, those they have a bittul in the chafta itself. So
right.
then it's done. So for the problem with this thing is that you've done a bittul on the makom, so then any place you can expect to find it, you don't find it. But once you find it, then it's kind of like reestablishes its significance because of the internal chetza itself.
Right. Okay. So I mean, I think we understand the bittul and the chetza. Let's see if we can understand the other bittul. I mean, this strange. You both are sensing, are saying, trying to work out an idea of like a bittul in the makom. So I think you're onto something, but we need to put it into a halachic framework here. Let me, because we're running out of time and the pizza's on the way. Freeman's coming back to pick you up at 12:30.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
You have to leave at 12:30.
Okay.
All right, we'll get an extra few minutes out of him. But see, the Ron really, if you want to go through this in more in depth, the Ron tries to work out Rashi Shita more fully. But I think what he's saying is like this. It really is an interesting, what is really the mitzvah that we're doing when we do B'diga? So it really is the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Right? Of Tashbisu. To Tashbisu Sa'om Rotecha. So what does that mean, Tashbisu? It's an interesting word. What does that mean, Tashbisu? Right? Like Rashi says, how do you know you can do bittul in the first place? Because it doesn't say tivaru, it doesn't say burn the chametz. It says tashbisu, right? Tashbisu se'or mibatechem. So what does tashbisu mean, really? I mean, it comes, it's a passive idea, right? Rest, shovas. You have to, merely means that your house should cease from chametz, right? You should make your house cease from chametz. It should be free from chametz, rested from chametz. What does that mean? See, all year long, what do you have? You have your house, right? Your house is where you keep your stuff, your possessions, and whatever is in your house, that's the important things to you, right? Those are the important things. You like we said, you're doing shmir on these things. That's why we have a house. It's a place to protect your possessions. So all year long, what do we have? All year long, chametz is one of our possessions. It's a normal possession, right? Hamotzi lechem in ours. Lechem is a very important thing, and it's a part of our bias. And the mitzvah says, the Torah says, on Pesach, what do? We have to turn over the bias. We have to change something. We have to give a new status. We have to now make chametz. See, chametz on Pesach is not just a stam and iser. It's not like an iser achila, right? It's much more than an iser achila. What is it really? It really becomes a thing that is not welcome. It becomes an entity that is not considered part of our bias. It's not just something that you can't eat. It's very presence, its very existence is against the theme of Yantav. So really what we have to do is we have to redefine our whole framework of ownership and possession and now sort of negate chametz from the equation. It's no longer something that we consider valuable. Okay. But there are two ways that we can accomplish that, right? There are two ways we can accomplish that. One is like Yehuda was saying, one is direct, bittul. That's really what bittul is. What is bittul? It's really a statement of this, the chametz is ka'afra da'ara, ve'eni rotza b'kiyumo. It's like dust. It's not something that I consider valuable at all. Okay? So therefore, that accomplishes removing it from my house. How does it accomplish removing it from my house? Tashbisu se'or mibatechem. How does it accomplish removing it from my house? Because it's no longer one of my possessions. It's no longer one of my. It's no longer part of my inventory. It's something that happens to be in my house, but is not chashuv to me. Does not count. Like we were saying before, does not count under my inventory. It's not part of the dust on the floor. Is not considered part of what's in your bias. It's accidentally here, but it's not a part of my house. You understand? There's a difference between physically being there and being because it's in its right place, because it's where it belongs, because it's something that I'm counting. So I can know, I can take the chametz directly, and I can say, this is here, this is just like dust. I don't, it's like hefker, basically. Anyone can come in and just take it, and I have no concern, and no I give it no consideration. That's bittul. If I do that, then all the chametz is considered, now it's considered my residence is free from chametz. Why? Not physically free, but as a bias, as a mokum that I store my goods, it doesn't relate to my house anymore that way. It's nothing. It's nothing to me. Okay, it'd be like just if dirt blew into the house. Doesn't make it part of my bias. On the contrary, it's foreign. But that's bittul. Bittul is direct. But what Rashi holds is, there's another way to do that. It's maybe a little bit counterintuitive, but there's another way to do that. First way, again, is what? I act on the chametz itself. And I go to the chametz, I say, dust, nothing, valueless, zero. But there's another way that I can consider my house free from chametz. How? Bedika. But how does it work? How does it work? Does it work because I just removed the chametz? No. Because if it worked just because I removed the chametz, then if I find chametz, it failed. But Rashi says it would still be good on that chametz if I'm not hesitant to destroy it. So how does it really work on the chametz? What it really does is, and this is, I think, the idea you're sensing when you call it bittul in the rishus, but it's not a bittul in the rishus. It really is a positive definition in the rishus. I'm really going, when a person searches through every corner of his house for chametz, what is he creating? He's really creating a new definition in his house. My house now is what? It's a chametz-free zone. I'm sort of defining it. I'm qualifying it. I am giving it a certain characteristic. I'm saying, I'm going through, and I'm removing every bit of chametz. Okay? That gives the whole nature of the, that gives my rishus a certain quality. And even if chametz happens to be in there, it doesn't matter. I've still defined the nature of my rishus. The only thing is, what do I have to do if I find it? What do I have to do? The only way I can maintain this definition of a of my house not being a home to chametz is if I start the bedika on Yud Dalid and I institute a very strict search and destroy policy. And I make sure the house is under surveillance, and any time I see the chametz, I remove it. That maintains a certain definition in the place. I'll give you an example. Sometimes they set up what they call like a drug-free zone around a school or something. So they come along and they put up a sign, drug-free zone. Wonderful. But does that remove the drugs? No, of course not. Right? It doesn't mean there aren't physically any, it doesn't mean there's, because they put up a sign, doesn't mean physically there's no drugs here. But what does it mean? It's defining the area. It's saying this area has a zero tolerance for that substance. And how is it expressed? It's expressed by the fact that whenever they find it, they remove it. You understand? So sometimes what bedika really does, it really creates a certain quality. It's not really just removing the chametz that you find, because then if you missed one, it wouldn't help. But the fact that you go through and continuously remove everything you do find defines your house as inhospitable to chametz. And then even if it's there, it's there accidentally, you understand? It just happens to be there. But it doesn't belong here. How do I know it doesn't belong here? Because of the way I'm treating my house. I'm treating it as a place that every time I find it, I destroy it. So that's exactly what Rashi means. Even if I miss the gluska yafeh, but the minute I see it, I continue my shmira of destroying chametz, it will be fine. It wouldn't change. It wouldn't cause any crack in the definition of my bias. The definition of my bias, that's exactly like a drug-free zone. You don't say, oh, well, once you found drugs, so then call off the drug-free zone. No, of course not. On the contrary. Drug-free zone means when you find it, you destroy it immediately. You understand? That maintains the definition in the house. But if you, when you find it, you have second thoughts, that's it. Then you're gone. You understand? So Rashi is explaining that that's why, that the reason why, because otherwise, because Rashi is explaining, and it makes a lot of sense, that when the Gemara asks why does the bodek have to be mevatel, it can't be simply to prevent, because maybe you missed something and you would have been over l'mafreya. Then that's dumb and partial that you have to do something like that. That's part of making sure you're not over. Rashi held that the bedika itself would prevent you from being over, even on things you missed. Why? Because in a certain, in an interesting way, when you do bedika on the when you do bedika and you destroy all the chametz, you're not really removing the chametz from your house. What are you really doing? You're really removing your house from chametz. You understand? You're making your house a place that chametz doesn't belong. Expressing an attitude. So you were right, it does express an attitude. You were right, it does express an attitude. But not an attitude about the, not an attitude that's a direct bitl on the cheftza, an attitude that defines your rishus. And therefore, chametz is only usur lo yira elecha chametz. It can't be something that is in your house as part of your possessions. But if I go through and I destroy what I find, even without a ma'isa bittel, I'm already making my rishus, you know, inhospitable to the chametz. So, but that's only going to work, Rashi says, if I keep it up 100% diligence. So the Gemara says, we're worried. Maybe you'll find it. You'll have second thoughts for a second, and then you'll be over. Okay. So what is the Gemara's answer? What is the Gemara's question? So do bittel when you find it. So that's Dabar Pashut now. Now, the only chash is that since burning chametz requires a whole process, you got to go find the wood, you got to start the fire, right? There's a whole long involvement. So maybe you'll be a little lazy in one of the steps because it's a process, and any amount of letting down your guard will destroy the shame, the definition that you've created in the house. But just to do a ma'isa bittel, that doesn't take any time. So we're not worried the person's going to hesitate within the ma'isa bittel. We're not worried the guy's a Russia. That's not what we're worried about. We're worried about that it happens when you have a long thing to do, you hesitate. When you have a quick thing to do, you don't. So I just wanted to give you a better insight. You see from this Rashi that the bedika is not just a practical physical thing. That's not what it is. Not just practically get rid of it. It really is a key in the whole bias. It really changes the definition of the whole house. And that's something that will work even on chametz that you miss, provided that you keep up that attitude. You understand? Okay. All right, so that's Mayor?
You're saying that if you take 1 minute, it's automatically just
1 moment. That's it. That's it. You've shown weakness. You show weakness in the face of chametz free zone.
So
doing bittel works because the bittel is on the cheftza. Once I've expressed my attitude towards this cheftza, that remains constantly. I've already nullified the entity. But bedika is not a nullification on the entity. It's a maintenance of a condition in the house. But that condition is dependent on the way you treat it.
But you're really hesitating.
Then you're finished. But if it was bittel already, if you did bittel on the cheftza, it wouldn't matter if you... Then you would have no obligation. Then really there's no obligation. It's not part of your rishus anyway. See, the chametz, if you don't do bedika, if you don't do bittel, then the chametz physically is in your rishus. The only thing that's preventing you from being over by your ra is that you're constantly maintaining a certain definition in your rishus. And if you let that down, then it's over. All right, so any other questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a very good question. That's a very good question. Chametz is one of those strange things that the Gemara says, even though you can't really own chametz, the Torah puts it in your rishus. You had to do something to remove it. Like a bor versus rub. That's why we showed them all that bittel works. You don't have to do a formal hefker. You can just express your attitude towards it. Because really it's not in your rishus. It's only in your rishus insofar as you relate to it. That's a deeper problem. So, all right, so like I said before, you know, it was a pleasure to have you guys. I think the pizza probably should be here by now. And I just wanted to say again that really, you know, what I think our strength here in this yeshiva is that we really work with you, with the Talmidim, and our primary concern is not to learn another blot, not to learn another Rishon, not to learn another Acharon, but really to see and to analyze and to develop your own abilities to think and to approach a problem. And you know, we always make sure that that it's you know, better to say less but have it clear than to just throw out an encyclopedia of you know, every sheet that there is. That's good for a certain thing. You have to know certain things, but like I said before, to develop your mind, it really has to be a step by step process, and you really have to go slow and have good guidance and good people to discuss things with, and that's what we really try to offer here. So, okay.